How can someone trust that Christianity is true? Today on Gospel and Life, Tim Keller is walking us through a series that examines common questions about the Christian faith and how we can respectfully and lovingly respond to the questions of our friends who don't yet have a personal faith in Christ. After you listen, please take a moment to rate and review the podcast. It really does help others hear and experience the power of God's Word, because the gospel changes everything. Now, here's today's teaching.
Try to pull some of the various strands together that we just saw. An awful lot of what we just saw, the operas are depicting experiences of erotic love, of romance, and they're all valid, they're all true. They seem to contradict each other. And the reason they seem to contradict each other is because I believe that in general, unless you understand the Christian faith, nobody has an alternative to the Christian faith that can pull together all of the various strands of human experience with regard to romance and love. And as a result, most people take one of the experiences and build a model of love, a one-dimensional model of love, that really can't account for the multiple dimensions of it. In other words, we see that love is dangerous. We see that we can't live without love. We see that, on the other hand, we can't trust people. For example, on the one hand, we saw that whenever you really fall in love, you want to completely give yourself away. You want to just let all your defenses down. You want to be completely vulnerable. That's the case. That's how we feel. We want to give our heart away. Guglielmo and Dorabella were saying, when you're in love, you want to give your heart away. But on the other hand, we also see that love is continually letting us down because people are letting us down. When you love someone, you're loving a human being. That human being to whom you're giving complete trust will tend to let you down. There's something cosmic about love. There's something, on the other hand, completely fickle about love. I would ask you this question. Do you have a philosophy of life that can account for all the various dimensions or aspects of love? Do you have a philosophy of life, an understanding of the world that can account for them and explain them and frankly, enjoy them and use them? Let me show you what I mean. There is one model of love I'm going to call, and I've already referred to it, as the conservative ideal. There's another model of love, at least right now, I'm going to call the liberal ideal. Both of them don't work. And then there's another model of love, which I think is the Christian model, that pulls it all together. Now, here's what I mean. First of all, the first model of love, I'm going to call the love is everything model. The love is all. It's the Papageno model. We already heard a little bit from him later on, or maybe it's, I don't know. I don't know the opera well enough to know. Some other place in the Magic Flute, Papageno sings this. He says, Papageno wishes for a girl or a wife. Then I could enjoy what I eat and drink. Then I could compete with princes. I would always enjoy life. Will none grant me love? Then I must be consumed by flames. But if only a wifely mouth would kiss me, I could be healed forever. Now, this is wholesome, but it's familyolatry. Do you know what familyolatry is? It's saying, if I could just find the girl of the boy of my dreams, if I could just find true love, everything in my life would be all right. Now, why do we feel that way? It's very natural, and many people start out in life that way. It's the conservative ideal. It's saying that if you can just find the true love, everything will be all right. Here's the reason why. Because when you actually first fall in love, it is cosmic. You know, most of us aren't Mozart. Most of us can't even sing Mozart, let alone write Mozart. But when you fall in love, you become an artist. Now, you know, if you're a bad artist, your love poetry is bad love poetry, but you want to write it. For example, here's a famous song that is a great example of bad love poetry, and I'll tell you why I remember it. Longer than there have been fishes in the ocean. Higher than any bird ever flew. Longer than there have been stars up in the heaven. I've been in love with you. Now, why do I remember that? Here's why I remember this. This is the sort of thing you want to write, and you do write when you fall in love. It's poor poetry, it's slurpy, it's bathos, not pathos, all the stuff that, you know, in writing class they tell you shouldn't do. But Even if you don't believe in heaven or hell, even if you don't believe in eternity intellectually, even if you don't believe in a God, when you fall in love, you feel like there's eternity. You talk cosmically. You feel like this is salvation. You feel that way. And it's only natural, therefore, to fall into this model, and that is, true love is everything. True love will make everything right. And there's a cosmicness to the feeling of love. And that's the reason why people build a whole model of love on this. If only a wifely mouth would kiss me, I could be healed forever. It'll make everything right. Now, there's problems with that. Huge problems with that. This model doesn't really work. On the one hand, you've got the people who have made the model work as well as it possibly can. I'm thinking about an interview I read not too long ago with Sophia Loren. And Sophia Loren, in her interview, said this, which is just amazing to me. She said, "My life is what I have dreamed of. Films, marriage to Carlo, bearing his children. Marvelous." I can just hear her, can't you? He says, "My life is what I obviously, she wouldn't be saying it the way I'm saying it, but I'm not going to even try. My life is what I have, I mean, so elegant, marvelous. And then she says, "I lack only one thing. In the center of my life, there is a void impossible to describe." I mean, I have everything I want except the main thing. I found true love, and yet I've still got in my center. In the center of my life, there's a void impossible to describe. And Sophia Loren is just, in a sense, one of the lucky ones. Because I'll tell you the way it works. If you have this model, love is everything. Love is salvation. Love will bring me to heaven. Love will make me experience the cosmos. There's something that makes you feel that way about love. But most people don't find Carlo or films. Most people are not Sophia Loren. And that's why you don't find Carlo in films. I'll tell you what I did find. The other day I was coming right through. I was flipping through the channels. I was channel surfing. And I came to one of the 20,000 indistinguishable talk shows. I can't even tell you where I saw this. But on the talk show, there was a man and a wife, a husband and a wife, breaking up on the show. All right? And that's I wouldn't have stayed, except there was a relationship counselor on the show, and she was talking to the wife, and this is what she was saying. She says, "My dear, now you can learn from this. Now you know there are no more Prince Charmings. Now you know there's never a relationship that will sweep you off your feet. From now on, when you go into a relationship, you will go in negotiating mutual benefits, watching your back. You will now know you must never lose control. You must never get swept off your feet in love. You must never let go of your independence." Now, what she's saying, here's a woman who had Model 1 and it doesn't work. Because the reason the love is salvation model doesn't work is because it's not love that's salvation. When you feel love is salvation, you have to love somebody. And that somebody is a human being. And the real problem is not that love isn't salvation. The real problem is nobody you fall in love with can be your savior. They can't bear the weight of that. They don't bear the weight of that. And therefore, Model 1 will let you down. As a result, the Model 1, true love is everything, we let go. Now we have Model 2. Now, Model 2 is on the rise. It's interesting to me because of my age. If I look at the movies that my parents grew up with, the musicals that my parents grew up with, the literature that my parents grew up with when they were young, it's definitely Model 1. If I could just find a wifely mouth to kiss me, I'd be healed forever. Everything would be all right. But my kids are growing up with Model 2. Their movies, their music is Model 2. Well, what's Model 2? Model 2 is the true love is actually an illusion. Mademoiselle Magazine recently said, "We are the post-idealist, neo-pragmatic, post-structuralist era of relationships." And what does that mean? Well, here's what it means. This is Wanda Urbanski in The Singular Generation. She also wrote this article in the Vassar Quarterly. She says this: "We, people in our 20s, we do not have affairs, we have sexual friendships. We do not fall in love, we build relationships. We do not date, we see each other. We don't have a lover, but we have a special friend with whom we spend lots of quality physical time." What's going on? These are people who broke up on the talk show. These are people who went from the love is salvation model, which doesn't work. It doesn't work. because lovers aren't saviors. Love will always make you feel like this person's your savior. It's your savior. You say, oh, no, I'm not a religious person. It doesn't matter. Intellectually, one thing, but love will always make you start talking about longer there have been stars up in the heaven. It'll make you think about heaven. It'll make you think about eternity. It'll make you think about salvation. It'll make you talk in those terms. And so you build a model on that, it will let you down. But then what happens is, watch your back. Negotiate sexual relationships. Never get swept off your feet. Never give your heart away. Never. That's behind a lot of the greatest love is all stuff. You know, Gloria Steinem in Revolution from Within says this, the truth is that finding yourself brings far more excitement and well-being than anything romance has to offer. And what she's saying is, don't you dare give yourself to anybody. Don't give your heart to anybody. Have sex and have as much love as possible, but never make an unconditional commitment. Never go all the way out. Never give your heart away. Never surrender. Never be vulnerable. Now, this is tough, because all of you know, I hope, the first time you have sex with somebody, down go those shields. You know, Captain Kirk, you know, shields down. That's what happens. You're ready. You're ready to give yourself to that person. You feel married. But you see, what happens is, the instinct of love says, you're my savior, shields down. But the reality of human beings is that they hurt you. So shields up, and they never go down. Well, what's that mean? The second model is, true love is an illusion. Have sex, have as much love as you possibly can, but never let him see you sweat. Never let her see you sweat. Never be completely vulnerable. The most important thing is to be passionate about yourself. Love is an illusion. Now, listen, that's the most innocuous version of that. But there's really a much worse version, and underneath it all is this. If there is no God, love is certainly an illusion. It's a neurochemical response. Let me quote to you from a book review that was last year, New York Times Book Review. It's a book by Robert Wright, who's a biologist, called The Moral Animal. Now, the reason I'm reading it is not because this is an earth-shaking book. I'm just saying this is typical. And what he says is, quote, all human sentiments and feelings we now know are a biological adaptation designed to maximize genetic self-interest. This is a function for feelings that's entirely hidden from the consciousness. But the fact remains, all intuitive moral principles and feelings, such as parent love, romantic love, and compassion of any kind, have no claim to inherent truth and should be completely distrusted. Now somebody says, oh, that's so bleak. I don't believe that. I believe there is such a thing as love. I don't believe that love is just chemistry. But now, wait a minute. That's one thing to say I don't like it. Here's what I'd like to ask you. One of the reasons behind the love is a sham, love is an illusion model, which is growing and growing right now, is because people say, well, I'm an intelligent person. Maybe there's a God, maybe there's not a God, but you don't need God to explain life. Intelligent people don't need God to explain life. If you want to have a God, that's fine, but you don't need God to explain life. Okay, I have a challenge for you. If there is no God, or you can't know if there's a God, explain love. If there's no God, explain love. And what this man says is the only possible explanation for love. If there's no God, everything has to have an empirical, natural cause, right? And there it is. Love is neurochemistry, period. Love is simply pharmacological, period. And he's right. If there's no God, and if there's no supernatural, and if there's no eternity, therefore, love is nothing but a chemical reaction, and there cannot be, by definition, any moral difference between one chemical reaction and another. Here's a chemical reaction that leads to violence. Here's a chemical reaction that leads to love. There's no difference. Well, you say, yes, there is. I just don't believe that's too bleak. Okay, it's one thing to say you don't like it. I ask you to show me why it's wrong. And you see, if you reject God, as our culture has, this has to be the case. The smart people are willing to say this. It's the rest of us that are too gutless to say this. If there is no God, true love is an absolute illusion. Not just because people let you down, but because love is nothing but a chemical reaction. But this model doesn't work either. Oh, no, not at all.
Meaning, hope, freedom. We desire these foundational aspects of life, but how do we get them? In his book, Making Sense of God, Tim Keller compares the beliefs and claims of Christianity with the claims of the secular view by exploring which one makes more sense of a complex world and human experience. He shows how, in an age of skepticism, the Christian faith provides the foundational needs we are searching for. We would love to send you a copy of Making Sense of God as a thank you for your gift to help share the gospel with more people. You can request your copy when you give at gospelandlife.com/give. That's gospelandlife.com/give. Because the gospel changes everything.
See, the conservative model, love is everything, love is salvation, that doesn't work, and I've shown you that. And more people in our generation, right here and now, believe that. What I like to show you is the second one doesn't work either. For example, well, they say, you should not spend yourself and your passion on anybody else but yourself. See? Never let your guard down. Never let those shields down. Only love yourself. But I want to ask you something. Why do people let you down? Why have your lovers let you down? Do you know why they let you down? Cosi fan tutti. Women are all alike. Are you going to do that? Men are all alike. See, you may be hiding behind that. You may be saying, the reason I will never get married, the reason I will never give my heart away, the reason why true love is an illusion, I just negotiate sexual friendships. The reason I do that is because that the gender is all alike. They'll let you down. No, no, no. The reason they let you down is not because they're men or because they're women, because they're human. And where are you from? Are you from Mars? You're telling me the greatest love of all, don't let your shields down and trust other people and give yourself to other people and put all your passion and be committed to the other people. Only be committed to yourself. You'll let yourself down too. You're not from Mars. You're from here. That's right. Men are from Mars. Women are from Venus. I forgot. No, you're from here. What in the world makes you think that it isn't more devastating to have you, and you will eventually discover you're not as courageous as you thought, you're not as humble as you thought, you're not as honest as you thought, that you're a selfish person, that you're made of jelly inside. When that happens, and you've given your heart to no one else but yourself, then where do you go? Then what do? But the most important thing to consider is this. Is true love an illusion? Is it an absolute illusion? You have to go all the way with that. If there is no God, that means that there's no difference between love and between violence. One chemical reaction is the same as another chemical reaction. Well, you say, I don't believe that. Of course you don't believe it. I know that can't be true. Of course you know that can't be true. But here's what I want to ask you something. If your premise that there is no God leads to a conclusion that you know isn't true, why in the world don't you question the premise? Listen, when you say true love is everything, that's just not true. That model doesn't work. But when you say true love doesn't exist, that's not true either, and that doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. C.S. Lewis put it this way. If there is no God, if the natural is all there is, you might try to have as good a time as possible. Sure. Grab for all the sensual pleasure you can. But you cannot, except in the lowest animal sense, be in love with a woman if you know, and keep on remembering, that all the beauties of both her person and of her character are a momentary and accidental pattern produced by the collision of atoms, and that your own behavior to them and response to her beauty is nothing but a kind of psychic phosphorescence arising from the behavior of your genes. And you can't go on getting any serious pleasure from music if you know and remember that its air of significance is a pure illusion too, that you like it only because your nervous system is irrationally conditioned to like it. That there is no moral or rational difference between beauty and ugliness, nor between love and cruelty. So, you may still, in the lowest sense, have a good time, but just insofar as it becomes very good, just insofar as it ever threatens to push you from cold sensuality into real warmth and enthusiasm and joy, so far will you be forced to feel the hopeless disharmony between your actual emotions and the universe you believe you live in.
The dead, he became the...
True love does exist. It's not salvation, but it does exist. And because it exists, there must be a God. Now, only the Christian model pulls that together. And what does the Christian model say? Fidel Castro recently was at Mort Zuckerman's house. Some of you know he was in town, don't you? Fidel Castro, I mean. And when he was there, there was a bunch of media types invited to that particular party. And Roger Ailes from CNBC was there, and he asked him this question. This was in the Wall Street Journal. He said, "Mr. Castro, do you believe in heaven or hell? And if so, where are you going?" And he said, first of all, he didn't believe in heaven or hell. But if he did, he liked the Muslim heaven much better than the Christian heaven. And the answer is because he understood that in Muslim heaven there was sex. But in Christian heaven there's no marrying or giving in marriage. And so he preferred, if there was heaven, he would rather go to Muslim heaven. He doesn't know what he's talking about. At least not in that area. The Bible gives us an explanation for why you feel when you fall in love that you've been in love longer than there have been stars up in the heaven. The Bible explains why when you fall in love, you want to give yourself ultimately to somebody who's your Savior. The Bible explains why, even if intellectually you don't believe in God and eternity, that when you fall in love, you start spouting stupid poetry about it. The Bible tells us that we were built to be naked and unashamed before God. We were built to be absolutely known and yet absolutely loved. I must tell you that when somebody after a service that I haven't, after a worship service or a meeting like this that I haven't, that I don't know, if they come up and say, "Boy, I really like what you said," and tells me something complimentary, if you don't know me very well, that feels good. But you don't know me. What human beings want is someone who knows very well, knows you all the way to the bottom. You want somebody who's seen you naked. You want somebody who's seen you not just physically naked, but naked in every way. You want someone to see you all the way to the bottom and say, "I see you all the way to the bottom, and I love you, and I admire you, and I respect you." And the Bible says you were built to have the God of the universe do that. And if you cannot have that, your spiritual nature, like your physical nature, will be served. If you deny it food, it will gobble poison. If you deny it the God of love, you will make love into a god or goddess. There has never been a religion that even tried to have a higher view of sex and love. Because it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, is a great place where Paul says this. He says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Now, this is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. Do you know what he's saying? Sex is wonderful because it is not everything and it is not nothing. It is an appetizer. It is a signpost. It is a pointer to the absolute closure, the absolute bliss that we will have through Jesus Christ when we get to heaven and we experience absolute oneness with Him. The most incredible sex between the happiest husband and wife in the face of the world, in the face of the earth, is just an echo, a wonderful echo, an incredible echo, participates in it. But just an echo of what that will be like. Paul says this is a mystery. But when we talk about husband and wife, we're talking about Christ and the church. And that's the reason why C.S. Lewis can put it another place. He says, "In the imagery describing Christ and the church, we are dealing with male and female not merely as facts of nature, but as the living and awesome shadows of realities utterly beyond our control and largely beyond our knowledge." There's no other faith that has any, it doesn't even try to have this kind of glorious view of sex, this glorious view of love. That explains why, when you fall in love, you're looking for a Savior. That also explains why, when you fall in love, you must not make any human being a Savior. Neither the liberal nor the conservative ideal are the right ones, because what true Christians can do, if you understand the Christian understanding of love and sex, is when you stand up there before the clergy and you take your vows, you know what you're saying? You're looking at the other person, you're saying, "I will never make you my Savior, but I today commit all that I am and all that I have to bring my beloved on earth to my beloved in heaven. I am not going to make you try to bear the freight of saving me. No, your wifely kiss cannot heal me forever, but his can. Now somebody says, why does it have to be through Christ? Well, we're going to end now. We're going to have an open forum after that, an open mic. After our final piece of music and after I close, we're going to have an open mic and you can ask more questions. But here's the reason why. Do you know that you have tried your very best to live a good life, but you know when God looks at you naked that there's lots of things in you that are bad, that are wrong? How can God know you and love you? That's what we want. We want to be naked and unashamed. We want someone to know us all the way to the bottom and yet say, I love you. Jesus Christ died in our place. He lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died, so that when I come to the Father through Jesus, I know that he's looking at me and saying, this is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased. I see you all the way to the bottom and I love what I see. And if that is something you know and experience, it fills you up and you don't try to make men or women, lovers, husbands, wives. You don't make anybody else into a savior. So you can trust. You can give yourself to the other person saying, you are not my salvation. Therefore, I can give myself to you. You're not stuck between the liberal or the conservative anymore. There's almost no other way, I think, to account for love, which is a clue to the meaning of the universe.
Thanks for listening to Gospel in Life. We pray you were encouraged to wrestle with the deep questions people ask about the Christian faith, and that you were able to reflect more deeply on Christ's love for you. Please take a moment to rate and review the podcast. You'll be helping others experience Christ's gracious and sacrificial love, because the gospel changes everything. Thanks again for listening to today's teaching by Tim Keller.